In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Gilbert Campos and Elvira Taylor. This Gospel passage is the very passage that Sister Anne always wants me to explain to the young men and women on the day of their first communion. She always wants me to make reference to this particular passage of the vine and the branches and witness to the video that they often do. And so if you've gone to any of the first communions that we had this year, you've already heard me talk about that. I want to share this with you instead, something that is a further iteration of that very same thing, but also touching on Our Lady, because she is the patroness of this particular month, the Mary month of May, and in particular, we focus quite a bit on the greatest apparition of Our Lady, that of Fatima, where Our Lady appeared to the three shepherd children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, and showed them everything that was necessary for them to be able to be inspired to pray the rosary, to lead a life of penance, and to make sure that other souls fall the same way that the whole of the world, but particularly Russia, might be dedicated and consecrated to her most immaculate heart. Sister Lucia writes a little bit about this particular passage as she was given to write meditations about scripture passages that our Lord had shown her particular meaning for in light of the apparitions that she received at Fatima. I'll just read you what she has to say. She says, "In this allegory of the vine and the branches, we see that the life of the members of the mystical body of Christ, which is his church, depends upon their union with Christ himself. He is the head of the church in the person of his representative, and we are its members. He is the vine, we are the branches, and just as the branch, if separated from the vine, dries up and yields no fruit, in the same way, if we, through sin, separate ourselves from the true vine, which is Christ, and cease to be fed by the sap of his grace, we wither and dry up and bear no fruit, becoming good for nothing except for to be thrown out upon the eternal fire." We have here a very clear statement of the fate awaiting those who are led astray by false ideas and the temptations of the world, the devil, or the flesh, and so allow themselves to be turned aside and separate themselves from the true mystical body of Christ, which is the church. Without following them, we must pray and make sacrifices for them so that they may return to the right path, because God does not wish sinners to perish, but rather that they be converted and live. In quotation from Sister Lucia on this particular passage of John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. Today, as I was going through our community, I ran into some persons, we'll go unnamed, and when I ran into them, I noticed that they in particular, what are the first words out of their mouth, which is often the first words out of so many people's mouths when they meet me during these particular times. After greeting them and usually often giving an effusive hug, then they say, "Father, sorry, I've not been coming to Mass. It's been a long time since I've been at Mass," and then proceeds a series of excuses for such inattendance. And when they were sharing these particular things with me, it caused me to wish to help them. They said we have a particularly good excuse for not making it to Mass. I said, "Oh, okay, that sounds fine. Would you mind if I enlighten your consciences a little bit to help make sure that you do indeed have that excuse so that you can go forward in confidence?" And they got a little nervous when I said that. And so I asked them a series of questions just about their lives and how things were going, what their level of fear was for particular things, and just gauging in a general way. And then I came to the questions that they did not wish me to ask, which were good. And so do you occasionally go out when you're feeling good and feeling strong? Do you occasionally go out to a restaurant to eat? I said, "Yes, Father, from time to time we do, about once every 2 weeks or so, we go out to such and such a restaurant here in town and just have a good time." I said, "Oh, that's nice. That's good to hear." And asked about, "Well, do you occasionally go out maybe to the T&D or to some other grocery store when you're out on a trip?" They say, "Oh, yeah, we got to go every week, Father, because that's about what we get for food." I said, that's nice. And we went through another series of questions on the various activities that they do outside the home. And after that, I said, "Okay, well, it sounds like you go out to eat, and it sounds like you go out to shop, and go out to get groceries and things, all of which are important, but none of those things are obligatory. None of those things are obligatory for you to be able to do. They are extra things that go beyond in a way that are not necessary for you to survive. And so if you're willing to do extra things, well, there's one thing that's necessary for you to do something to survive on the level of your soul. God doesn't command anywhere in sacred scripture that you have to go to a grocery store. He certainly does not say that you have to go to a restaurant in any way. But he does say you do have to make it to Mass on Sundays. And that's divine precept." When I said that, they were no longer so happy to have met me. this day, but helping them to enlighten their consciences, to come to understand what the demands of God are and what they in fact are doing or saying. They have an idea of what they wish to do, and they make their own individual deal with God rather than relying on what God actually does and provides for. These are the things which keep you and I within the vine of Christ, connected to the vine of Christ, receiving, as Sister Lucia says, receiving that sap of divine grace from him. But when we commit a mortal sin, particularly in that way, or we cut ourselves off from that grace, and when we commit a venial sin, we slowly by slowly choke off that nourishment of divine sap of God's grace into our own lives and make it more likely that we are to cut ourselves off from it. This is what our Lord is speaking about here. And his will is not for you and me, as he says here. His will is not that you and I somehow make it through life. His will is not that you and I somehow skate by and just barely make it, gritting our teeth and somehow making it through extraordinary effort. What he desires you and me to do is to have, as the scripture speaks about, abundant life. Abundant life. He desires you and I to have more life than you and I know what to do with. It says in this last verse, chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "By this is my Father glorified." How is God glorified? Do you know? Right here it says it. "By this is my Father glorified." It says here in the scriptures that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Our Lord desires us not to occasionally have a fruit that comes off of us on the vine, occasionally have something that grows to maturity there, but he says his will is that you and I have much fruit, and this is glorifying to God. This makes his name greater. The more and more fruit that you and I engage with, the more and more you and I receive the life-giving sap, God's grace, to bear fruit within your life and within mine. So this is the will of God our Father. So therefore, let us strive all the more to first, in relation to ourselves, to make sure that we ourselves are not constricting the flow of God's grace and certainly avoiding the mortal sins, which are to cut off God's grace, making a deal between us and God, saying, "I'm comfortable with this, you and me, God," but not beyond that point. But really seeking to unloosen whatever bands or bonds we have and limiting what God can do for us. And secondly, to help others who are indeed struggling with gentleness and with love, and to help them to understand ways in which they themselves might be cutting themselves off from God's grace, so they may return to a life of grace, because God's will is not just for those of us who are in the room here to bear much fruit. No, he speaks this in a general way to all those who hear the divine call of God into the life of faith. He says, this is the way in which God is glorified, that all of you, speaking in the plural, become my disciples, really following to me, listening to what I have to say, not just to whatever deal you make up within yourself, but that you also bear much fruit. He wants you and I to bear copious fruits, and thereby is God indeed glorified. Let's ask him for these grace to follow through with it first for ourselves, and secondly, to have the courage and the prudence to be able to help those who are our neighbors to follow in the same path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.